We welcome your ears to episode number 203 of the Triple Option with RBKD. On the horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming live all the time, when and wherever you may be. On the Horn app and at hornfm.com. On today's show, did Texas just hire the one-eyed green guy from Monsters, Inc. to be the new defensive coordinator? Plus, how to get fired a month into your new job? And Gwyneth Paltrow exploded all over someone's living room. Joined alongside by a lifetime Longhorn and card-carrying member of DBU, he's a mercenary mouthpiece, pop culture critic, and the one they call Blackstradamus. He's also the inventor of the Corona kit. He is Rod Babers. Rod B, how are we doing today?
Doing great today, even though it's kind of a dreary, rainy day here in Austin. It is still a beautiful day. I'm blessed. I feel good. How about you, brother?
I'm doing great, brother. Amen to that. Another day above ground. It's hard to complain. Also joined by a lifetime Longhorn and lifetime Austinite. He's so much of a man, they had to take one of his balls away to keep it fair for the rest of us. He knows we're your IT guys. IT guy went to college. He is Kevin Dunn. KD, what's going on?
Good to be above ground. It is wet above ground, though. So just make sure you stay safe out there, dry out there. And guys, I mean, I think we finally have one. I'm sure that'll change in 2 hours, though, right?
Yeah, it feels that way. I'll be here as well. I am BK Brad Kellner. Together, we are the Triple Option with RBKD, rocking and rolling until 7 o'clock here on the Horn. We appreciate y'all spending some or all of your Tuesday afternoon with us. And yes, as KD alluded to, Texas reportedly has itself a new defensive coordinator. It is not Pete Golding. It is not Dan Lanning. It is not Zach Arnett. Not Chris Ash. Not Barry Odom. Not Will Muschamp. But according to multiple sources, it is Pete Kwiatkowski. Texas has reportedly hired Pete Kwiatkowski to be its newest defensive coordinator. They were able to poach him away from the University of Washington. The football brainiacs had it late last night. They were the first on the scene, so I will give them some credit. It was confirmed by Football Scoop this morning. Other UT and Washington insider sites have confirmed it as well. It's not technically official, according to the University of Texas. But, Rod B., it appears that the Longhorns have themselves a new defensive coordinator in Pete Kwiatkowski.
Yeah, I think the first thing we got to figure out is how we're going to say the name. I'm just going with Coach K. And I know Coach K is, there's a bigger Coach K out there. But in our neck of the woods around here on the 40 acres, I'm just going to go with Coach K until I figure out how to do it. I heard Chad on Chad and Trade actually saying that, you know, the background, like the Polish background, the pronunciation of the name. I think he said, is it Kwiatkowski? I may have gotten that wrong. I believe he said Kwiatkowski. I've heard Kwiatkowski. I've heard Kwiatkowski. I've heard a lot of things. So we got to ask him what he prefers. If not, I've heard in the coaching community, they just call him Coach K. But, of course, I said there are two Coach Ks in the coach community. But the college football Coach K will be Kwiatkowski or Kwiatkowski or whatever. But either way, in love, now we'll just call him Coach K. But I do like the hire. I like the hire. I've always been a big fan of Washington's defense. I've been a big Jimmy Lake fan. Of course, I study DBs, and they have one of the most innovative, progressive defenses in college football. It's been that way. A lot of props to Brian Harsin and Coach K, because they really did kind of originate that 2-4-5 defense, which we'll talk a lot about. I don't know if that's exactly the scheme they're going to go with at Texas, but I know he's a coach that's willing to mold his scheme. He's malleable. He'll mold his scheme around the personality and skill sets of his players. I'm hoping that here at Texas, though, that he can replicate some of the results he had at Washington. I know he was co-DC for a while once they promoted Jimmy Lake, who deserved it because Jimmy Lake's one of the best young coaches in football, and he was going to leave if they didn't promote him. But that defense still has been really, really impressive, whether he was the DC, the co-DC, or the play caller. I think Longhorn fans should be really, really excited about getting Coach K. A lot of great stats about him. He's my favorite stat, and I'll give credit to Football Scoop. I think they're the first ones that I saw with it. So in total, Washington, and this is in the Pac-12, they have allowed five opponents in Coach K's 7 years to hit 35 points, and three of them came in 2014, actually, which was the first year he came with Coach Peterson. And C.J. Vogel, at C.J. Vogel 3, threw this out there. Texas has allowed opponents to score 35-plus points 22 times in that same time span. And, yeah, he actually broke down when the games were 3 in 2014, 1 in 2017, and 1 in 2019. Always one of the best scoring defenses in the country. I know the defensive backs and the secondary and the passing game coordination was almost exclusively all Jimmy Lake, but I know a great coach like Coach K learned a ton from Jimmy Lake, and Jimmy Lake has already admitted he's learned a ton from Coach K, and Coach K is one of the reasons that he got a chance to get into coaching and to commit to it, because Coach K saw potential in him as a DB coach, because they go all the way back to the Boise State days. So I like the move. I like the hire. The coaching staff, to me, it's better than Herman's initial staff. It's better than Charlie Strong's initial staff. It's really strong. But, you know, Mack Brown, when he reinvented Mack Brown Texas football in 2011, had a really strong staff, right? Manny Diaz, Brian Harsin on that staff, had some really good coaches. Dwayne Aquino, Oscar Giles, really good coaches on that staff, young and old, and yet, you know, couldn't quite get it done. So just because you get the coaching staff right, which I think he is, doesn't mean it's all going to work out. But I do like that this first step is a good one for him. I think he's hired some really good coaches, and this is one of the best.
I like the hire. I do. And I like the national kind of scope that they had throughout this whole thing. So, look, the biggest question, and I've watched a ton of Washington football, had a man crush on Washington there with Browning and those teams for a little while, and just the way they played, the Vita Veas of the world. He does do a, you know, there's always a question of is it Jimmy Lake or is it Coach K? And from everything that I've been able to find, I mean, it seems like Coach K had a serious part in this defense. And I'm glad Rod brought up kind of schemes or at least personnel and how they're going to have certain alignment, because he even changed. He was primarily Northwest guy, so Montana State, then Boise State, and then he came down with Peterson to Washington. And you're going to obviously have to coach the Boise State guys and scheme them differently than once you bump up and get to Washington. And hopefully with the type of personnel they're going to have here, that's going to change a little bit. I've said it for a little while now that the longer I watch football, it became less about are you a three-down guy, a four-down guy, but your overall understanding of football and how that can change. So really what your theory is on football, and it's more conceptual, it's broader than just I'm a four-down guy, I'm a three-down guy. Mike Stoops was running Tampa 2 in 2000, and he was the next great thing as a college coordinator. He never made that adjustment. And so from what I've seen from Coach K and Jimmy Lake, and there can be a question of how much of those guys get credit, I think both of them do. BK, this is a good hire, and it's someone that, once again, it is a national feel. You went out to go get a guy who's coached some really good defenses recently.
Yeah, I like that. I like that it was a national search, and you know that Texas vetted a lot of different candidates from all over the country. That's what we were looking for. That's something Sark kind of hinted at doing during his initial press conference after he took the Texas job, so I'm glad he followed through with that. You brought it up before, KD. Sometimes in the past, Texas has said we're going to have a national coaching search, but they don't always use all of their resources to go national, and they end up keeping things way more local than they probably should.
Hey, we wound up in Bastrop. It was still a national search. Well, was it?
A different zip code. That has to count for something, right? But I like that, and I also like the timing of the hire, right? I mean, National Signing Day is 2 weeks from tomorrow, so it was relatively important to get a defensive coordinator in before that. But also, classes down on the 40 acres start today, and strength and conditioning for these Longhorn football players starts next Monday, and you've got most players back on campus already. So you wanted to make sure you had your coaching staff in place, just about everybody of your coaching staff in place by the time the players get back to campus. And one of the things I like to look at whenever Texas, or really any school, poaches a coach away from another school, I look at the fan base reaction, right? And just looking at social media, not always the best indicator of things in this world, but I feel like you get a pretty good perspective from what's going on with fans in terms of their reactions to a coach getting hired away from their school. And a lot of Washington fans are ticked off, guys. I mean, they are pissed that Texas was able to come in and take their defensive coordinator. They feel like he's one of the best defensive minds in all of college football. They say he's right behind Chris Peterson in terms of the important guys who have turned Washington football around and made them nationally relevant again. So I loved seeing that, Rod. I mean, maybe I'm looking too much into other people's reactions, but the fact that, you know, Washington fans are incredibly ticked that they are losing this guy tells me that Texas probably got itself a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I believe the nickname of their defense was the Death Row Defense. It became, and I'm sure the fans gave it that nickname. Yeah, he was beloved. There's no doubt about it. And he was extremely, I mean, I'll get into it because I've been doing some cyber stalking of him since the news dropped. So I'll go full football theorist in Rod's round today, and we'll get into some X's and O's. But him as a person, he is, as a coach, like, I don't know him personally, but as a coach, he is truly unselfish. And I know some people are saying, well, he and Jimmy Lake, they butted heads a little bit this year because Jimmy Lake, who essentially surpassed him, right, on the totem pole and was once a DB coach, then became a co-DC, and now the head coach for Washington. But he did take the demotion, I guess you could say, of sorts when he was no longer the play caller, and in 2018, and he said, I'm doing this because I believe in, you know, Coach Lake. I think that Jimmy Lake's a great young coach. We got to keep him around. I think this is what's best for the overall program right now. I know I'm a good coach. This is not a slight at me. I'm paraphrasing. He said, this is not a slight at me. This is more us trying to do what's best overall for the team. So a guy who's a veteran, who's got, you know, skins on the wall, to take that kind of approach with a young coach who was right there with him and not, you know, allowing the green-eyed monster, if you will, jealousy to get in the way and his ego to get in the way, shows me that, you know, he's not only a great coach, but he's an unselfish coach, and he's willing to do what's best for the overall good of the program. I like that, because most coaches will consider that a demotion. They would have left. He wanted to stick around as long as possible. Texas is probably just an offer you can't pass up.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with that, and because that happened a couple of years ago, Rod B., I think everyone felt like Kwiatkowski was going to stay at the University of Washington, right? I mean, if he's willing to take a demotion and then still be the defensive coordinator after the guy he got demoted for becomes the head coach, then it's like, okay, this guy's just a lifer. He doesn't plan on leaving anywhere. But I saw this report. Apparently, there was a little bit of friction between Jimmy Lake and Pete Kwiatkowski last season in terms of how involved Jimmy Lake was trying to be with this defense. So Lake, the head coach, also a defensive mind, right? He was the DC before he became the head coach, was also the D-backs coach before he became the DC. He still wanted to have a lot of involvement, I guess, into the ins and outs and the X's and O's with what was going on with the defense up there. Maybe Kwiatkowski, who obviously got along incredibly well with Chris Peterson, followed him over from Boise State to Washington and was with him for more than a decade, maybe he didn't feel the same way about the future of the University of Washington KD after Jimmy Lake took over. So maybe that's why. Also, in combination with what you said, Rod, I mean, Texas being an offer that's too good for a lot of people to refuse, and I'm sure Texas is going to increase Kwiatkowski's salary by a pretty decent amount, but maybe that's a part of it as well, KD.
I think it is part of it. I just figured that he was a Northwest lifer. And just, I mean, he played at Boise State. He was a DC at Montana State, grad assistant at Boise State, then back to Boise State, then to Washington. And I just, you know, I'm kind of with you. A couple years ago, I was like, okay, he's cool with that, and he's just going to stay up there. He's making good money. But, guys, I think the most encouraging thing for me is that Texas is finally spending their money the way they should, and they're doing it before Saturdays, before you get to that Saturday, and that's primarily with the coaching staff, and they're going to do it with facilities. They've already done that. They're going to continue to do that. And so use your resources to be able to make that separation, you know, to be able to separate from your competitors. And if you can go money whip a guy who may not be as happy as he was there for a little while, go out there and do it. I'm not worried about this guy as a coach. Rod, I know I've read differing things on him as a recruiter, but that's also what we talked about when you're building a staff. I mean, you got to be able to mesh all these different personalities, and some guys are big recruiting guys, and some guys are going to be really damn good coaches. I know Coach K is a really damn good coach.
Yeah, I mean, every coach can't be both, right? Every coach can't be a great developer of talent, be be highly, kind of a highly thought of and respected play caller, or it's kind of a schemer, if you will, if they're going to be a coordinator and also be a great recruiter. Some guys just, you know, they're recruiters that are just good. They're okay recruiters. They're not fantastic recruiters. They're not ace recruiters. And that, you know, that still doesn't mean you don't really add anything to the staff. Everybody has their strengths, their weaknesses. Sark's, his role as a coach, putting together all these different elements, is to try to combine the different strengths and the weaknesses and put together a staff that is compatible, that also is constructive, that works really well together. So we'll see how those pieces and those parts work together. Like we said, it doesn't always necessarily mean success, but I think it's the best way to get yourself off to the right start. And if you do get these initial hires wrong, and some of those initial hires by Tom Herman and Charlie Strong were highly criticized, and I don't think any of these have been highly criticized. I've been, you know, critical of a couple of moves, but I don't think highly criticized can be said about these moves. Most of them have been highly praised, actually. So I think Sark is giving himself at least an advantage where his last two predecessors didn't have that advantage.
Yeah, yeah, agreed 100%. And still one more assistant coach that Sark needs to hire. We'll see who that is and what position that guy is going to coach. But a couple of numbers that I really like from Coach K's defense at Washington. Kind of feels weird saying Coach K, but I like this guy more than the Duke Coach K already. So
the other Coach K is not even in the top 25. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's true. Duke is unranked right now in basketball, which sign of the bizarre times that we're living in. But scoring defense, I think that's the most important stat that you can look at for any level of football, right? I mean, the name of the game is score more points than the other team. And for a defense, while you're trying to keep other teams off the scoreboard, Washington has been really, really good in scoring defense since Coach K got there. They gave up 24.8 points per game in 2014, which was Kwiatkowski's first year as the defensive coordinator. But after that, they were 13th in the country in scoring defense in 2015. They were 8th in the country in scoring defense in 2016. They were 5th in the country in scoring defense in 2017. They were 5th in the country in scoring defense in 2018. And they were 15th in the country in scoring defense in 2019. So love those numbers. And another number that I really like, guys, look, when Steve Sarkisian was hired, he talked about wanting to be aggressive in all three phases of the game, right? Offense, defense, and special teams. We're going to be aggressive. Washington has been really, really good at creating takeaways since Coach K has been there. In 5 of the 6 years, I'm not including this season, Washington only played 4 games and it was a pandemic reduced season. Not that their defensive numbers were horrible. I mean, they were 39th in the country in scoring defense this year. I don't think that's that bad at all, but you know, they only played 4 games, so maybe hard to really draw a lot of conclusions from that. But in 4 of the previous 5 seasons in which Kwiatkowski was there, they were top 30 in the country in terms of turnovers forced, KD. So this is actually a guy who has a proven track record of having an aggressive defense that creates short fields for its offenses, and that's what you want. I mean, Sark is the offensive mastermind. He wants the football. He wants to score a lot of points. You want a defense that can set up the offense for a lot of success, and I think Coach K can do that.
They're all gas, no brakes, and I didn't really watch them this year. The Washington that I've been watching the last 4 or 5 years, especially three or four years ago, they just were a lot of fun, and they had guys that could really make plays, especially on defense. But they were aggressive. I mean, they're going to be coming after you, and they're going to be trying to turn the ball over. And that's one of the things that I really loved about their defense. They also play with a physicality. You know, Washington is an OKG type of recruiting program. A lot of people are, but they're our kind of guys are really kind of blue collar. And also with the chip, and they played defensively with the chip. I hope he can bring that here and continue to be aggressive, Rod.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's a naturally aggressive defense. It's built into the blueprint for them to scheme pressure. Because, well, like I said, we don't know exactly how the defense is going to look. We assume that it'll be, two to three down front because of the history of Coach K, but they've always schemed pressure. He and Jimmy Lake were big on that the havoc rate, which is essentially the amount of splash plays you get from the back end, your back seven. Their havoc rates were always among the top 10 in the country, so their defensive backfield is always really active at coming up into the box, making plays. They blitz their corners, they'll blitz their safeties and blitz their nickels, a lot of twists, lot of stunts. Except we'll talk more about it in kind of my rant today. I'll get into some details. But, yeah, I know people aren't going to like it, but it is – there are a lot of similarities to what Todd Orlando liked to do in terms of the scheming mm-hmm. pressure. Yep. You're not going to lie. I know, but
no,
it's
there
done
are.
More –
there are.
Yeah, it's done more effectively with different types of personnel, but in terms of – philosophically, conceptually, there are some similarities there, but I'm not trying to bring that up for anything. I'm just pointing it out.
Yeah. Now let's fire the guy. Let's get rid of him. If he's anything like Todd Orlando, he can't be
no,
here.
No, first year will be really good.
That's true.
The trend, remember.
That
first
is
year
true.
Is always going to be really good.
Oh, man. Nothing official yet, but guys, apparently a couple of hours ago on a Zoom call that Sark had with local media, he mentioned Kwiatkowski by name and also said that he's excited to have him because he's a pain in the ass to play against. I mean, Sark was openly talking about Kwiatkowski during this media availability. Nice. So even though we don't have an official announcement from the University of Texas itself, we don't have a tweet or anything like that, I mean, the fact that we're getting a name drop from Steve Sarkisian probably tells you everything that you need to know, that Pete Kwiatkowski is coming over from Washington to be Texas's new defensive coordinator. He made $1 million at Washington last year, likely in line for a pretty significant pay raise this year. We'll obviously see what those numbers look like. And once again, Texas now has 9 of its 10 assistant coaching vacancies filled. We'll see who the 10th and final vacancy is filled by. The assumption is Kwiatkowski is going to be a linebackers coach for Texas as well as the defensive coordinator. There's also a belief that maybe he's going to try to bring in another linebackers coach to coach that position with him, since there's more of an emphasis on the linebacker spot in this defense than there was in Chris Ash's defense in the 2020 season. All right, we'll take your thoughts.
Because they have the inside, their inside linebackers are so much have responsibilities that are so much different than the outside linebackers in this system.
Mm-hmm.
They it does make sense that they'd bring in a different coach altogether to coach one of those either inside or outside. I think he coached outside linebackers.
Yes,
if I'm not
he
mistaken.
Did.
Yeah, so maybe they'll bring in an inside linebackers guy. Oh, sorry to interrupt.
Is Coleman Hutzler still available? Can they flip?
No,
him
he's
back?
Headed to Ole Miss.
Yeah, Ole Miss, man.
Do you flip coaches like you can flip recruits? Get that guy back?
Maybe. Well, I think you could.
Georgia did.
Georgia did. You're right. Last Friday. Unreal. So we'll take your thoughts, Longhorn fans. 337-3776 is the Specs text line. We'll obviously be discussing this throughout today's show. We're going to get C.J. Vogel, the aforementioned C.J. Vogel from the Football Brainiacs, on the program a little after 6 o'clock this evening to discuss how this hire all went down, or at least how this reported hire all went down, and how it happened pretty late last night. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. Let's talk some Houston Texans football. The Texans reportedly interviewing a couple of coaches, including one guy Deshaun Watson really, really likes. Is it enough to turn the tide down in H-down? Plus, the Dallas Cowboys offensive coordinator interviewing with a rival today. That's next.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers, hanging out with Brad Keldner and Kevin Dunn. You can always hit us up via Twitter in the Twitterverse. I'm at Rod Babers, BK's at Brad Keldner, and Kevin Dunn's at KevinDunn01. The NFL coaching carousel is actually coming to a slow end. We do have now all but 2 head coaching vacancies in the NFL that have been filled. Atlanta, well, at least reportedly about to be filled. Atlanta has agreed to terms with Arthur Smith. Detroit has not made it official, but all the reports say that Dan Campbell, who's the assistant head coach with the New Orleans Saints, is going to be the next head coach with Detroit. But I don't believe the organization, have come out and publicly said anything. Urban Meyer, of course, is the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He has filled that vacancy. Brandon Staley is now the head coach, the new head coach of the L.A. Chargers. Robert Saleh, who was the former defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers, he is going to the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Gentlemen, that leaves just the Houston Texans and the Philadelphia Eagles. One name that has actually been really popular with Houston has been Eric Bieniemy. He did have a Zoom interview with the Texans earlier this week. The reports are that it went well, that the Texans may be willing to go with Eric Bieniemy, not only because, you know, he's been one of the best offensive minds in the NFL for the last few years, but also because it was Eric Bieniemy's the recommendation, I believe. That was the name, the one name that Deshaun Watson brought up in previous discussions about who he likes to be the next head coach for the Texans. He didn't say that he wants Eric Bieniemy to be the next head coach, but he did say some very complimentary things about Eric Bieniemy. A lot of people are assuming that he got that information from Patrick Mahomes because he and Patrick Mahomes are really good friends. Philadelphia Eagles sources are saying that Kellen Moore, BK, is going to interview or is scheduled to interview for that job, the offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys. Your thoughts as a Dallas Cowboys fan about Kellen Moore interviewing for the Eagles job?
I don't like it. I can tell you that. And Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network said that Kellen Moore is interviewing today with Philadelphia. Ooh. So that thing is going down right now in the city of brotherly shove. I would not like that because I'd value Kellen Moore really, really highly. He's done a lot with this Dallas Cowboys offense over the past couple of years. He's obviously an up-and-comer in this industry, and you know, I think he could do good things for Philadelphia as well. So don't want to have to go up against Kellen Moore twice a year, KD. I'm hoping the Eagles go a different direction. I think they will go a different direction, but it tells you at some point, if you're a Cowboys fan, you got to brace yourself for losing Kellen Moore. Because even if it doesn't happen this offseason, he is a hot name in this industry. He's a fast riser in this industry. And I think at some point within the next couple of years, he's going to probably land a head coaching job somewhere else.
Yeah, Andy Reid also was hinting that he really hopes, and pretty much said it, that he hopes Bieniemy gets the Philly job, so that would take out Kellen Moore and make you happy right there. I don't know if they're ready to jump on Moore right now, but I mean, hell, Staley essentially did what McVay did and just shot up the ranks and blew him away with the interview, and the Chargers are like, we just can't say no. So maybe Kellen Moore will do that with Philadelphia, but I'm curious how the whole Bieniemy thing will play out. It'd be funny if Bieniemy ends up getting the Houston job, but Deshaun's like, nah, it's still too late.
Man.
Yeah. I don't know how much that could repair the relationship between the Texans and Deshaun, and it could. And you know what? If it can repair it, I know this sounds crazy. It's worth hiring Eric Bieniemy right now.
Yeah.
Right. If Deshaun Watson says, oh, you know what? They hire Eric Bieniemy, I'll stay with the Texans, and I'll call off the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. And I'll put to bed all the trade rumors. I know it sounds crazy. If he's willing to do that, I would hire Eric Bieniemy, because if it doesn't work out, we'll just fire him 3 years later. Deshaun Watson's going to be with that organization for the next 10, 12 years. So, yeah, it is worth hiring Eric Bieniemy, whether you like him or not, if it will repair the fractured relationship between the Texans and Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, agreed 100%. And it's not like Eric Bieniemy is underqualified. I mean, this dude has been a highly touted coaching candidate for the last couple of years, and it's kind of a surprise and a shock, really, a better word, that he doesn't have a head coaching job at this point, considering how good the Chiefs offense has been the last couple of seasons. So, yeah, that'd be a great hire regardless of the Deshaun Watson situation. But if that's something you could do to keep Deshaun Watson happy and, more importantly, keep Deshaun Watson in Houston for the next couple of years, KD, that feels like an absolute no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if you were completely against it, I wouldn't go that far. But I understand what Rod's saying, especially with how quickly you can fire coaches. So you want Deshaun Watson to be there, and assuming you can get back in his good graces, you could always fire Bieniemy in a couple years. I mean, assuming that Deshaun wants it, of course.
Of course.
He's been such a good coach. There's something going on there. I know some of it, I was reading an article that some of it is Bieniemy just kind of wants to take that perfect job. So he has actually said no, apparently, at times, or declined offers. But the fact that he hasn't gotten a job yet with as good of an offense as they had, considering it's Mahomes, considering how much Andy Reid talks about him, that's going to happen sooner rather than later.
Yeah, even if I'm telling you, if I'm staunchly opposed to Eric Bieniemy, and
you,
I think he's going to be a terrible coach, and Deshaun Watson says, man, if you hire Eric Bieniemy, I'll stay, I would hire Eric Bieniemy. because I can always fire Eric Bieniemy. You can fire coaches after 1 year in the NFL. They've done it time and time again. They were talking about firing Mike McCarthy after 1 year. Mm-hmm. I would do it. I'd repair their relationship. Once me and Deshaun Watson got really, really cool, I'd fire Easterby too. So don't get me started on who I start firing for the Texans. But and then I would just keep it moving with Deshaun is the most important piece here. Everybody else is expendable. Everybody else in that organization can go or leave. He is the one guy you got to keep there. And like I said, if Eric Bieniemy coming in will keep him there and keep him happy, I'm doing it. Because if he's not the real deal, you know who the first person will find out if Eric Bieniemy's a fraud? You know
Watson.
The first guy that'll
It'll
know?
Be Watson.
Watson.
Yeah.
He'll come to me. He'll come to me and all day go, he's a fraud.
I was wrong about that.
I was wrong about this guy. He's no way he can be. He's a championship coach. He's just, you know, I mean, I don't know how he got this far. He's
not
good.
Andy Reid is good.
Exactly. I'm not saying that's the case, but Deshaun Watson, let him be the one to actually come to the conclusion that he's not a good coach, if that is in fact the case. But if he wants Eric Bieniemy, give him what he wants.
Doesn't this sound
give him what he wants?
Doesn't this sound pretty familiar, gentlemen? I mean, on paper, that sounds like the right thing to do, Rod B. But doesn't this sound exactly like what the Rockets did for James Harden for 8 years, and then they still got left at the altar by that dude? I mean, it's a little bit of an apples to oranges situation, but is that something you want to do where you're just giving Deshaun Watson the message that, man, you control every single thing that we do around here?
No, but I'm just saying right now he wants to leave, and everybody's saying that it's worse than ever. You're already at the point where James Harden was 3 months ago. So I'm just saying since you're there, since he's at the point now where he wants to be traded and he's done potentially, you need to repair the relationship. You need to keep him there. The Rockets didn't have that option because James Harden had already wanted to move on. He was already done. He had moved on to greener pastures. And maybe Deshaun Watson's done that, but I'm saying if Deshaun Watson's willing to come back to the organization and willing to commit again or recommit because of that one move, I'm saying it's worth doing. And you know what? The Rockets would have did it too if James Harden said, hire this guy and I'll stay. They would have done it. they would have done it. There was nothing they could do to keep Harden.
Yeah, he'd close the book on them. We'll see what happens. I mean, I think there are two things just based on what I'm hearing. And look, maybe the Deshaun Watson thing is beyond repair at this point, right? Maybe he's made up his mind that doesn't matter what happens, I want out of Houston. But it feels like there are two things the Texans can do to salvage that relationship. And one of them is hire Eric Bieniemy, and the other one's obviously getting rid of Jack Easterby. I mean, it feels like it is that simple to do. And
can we start there?
You probably keep Deshaun Watson. What, getting rid of Easterby first?
Yeah, because it doesn't sound like he's the only one who's... I mean, there have been multiple reports that there are a lot of guys in that locker room that don't trust him. Get rid of him.
Yeah, and the whole thing to me, guys, feels a little bit unique. Feels a little bit ironic, perhaps. A little bit better word. Now, usually when you get mad at an owner of a professional sports franchise, it's because they're too involved, right? They're meddling too much with the day-to-day operations of the organization. Look at Jerry Jones with Dallas, right? That's everyone's biggest issue, is the fact that Jerry the owner won't fire Jerry the general manager, and he keeps getting involved in making personnel decisions that he really has no business making. Look at Tillman Fertitta. We'll use another H-Town example, right? I mean, Tillman Fertitta has been overly involved with some of the stuff, some of the decisions that the Rockets have made over the last few years. Hell, he apparently turned down a better offer from Philadelphia because he didn't want to trade James Harden away back to Daryl Morey. Like that, yeah. You know, you don't like that. Usually, when an owner's ticking everybody off, it's because they're over-involved. Mm-hmm. With Cal McNair, it's like he's the exact opposite. Like, it seems like all he has to do is fire Jack Easterby and bring in somebody way better to do Jack Easterby's job, and he could save the day down in Houston. Like, I think the fans would probably like him again. I think Deshaun Watson would potentially like him again if the guy that he brings in does the right job. But, Rod, it just feels really weird to me because everyone hates this owner, but it's usually hating him for a different reason. Cal McNair just has to make one decision and then stay out the way he always has, and it feels like everything can get back on track down there.
Yeah, but for Cal McNair, it's a different journey, and I'm not judging him, but I think it's a spiritual journey for him. I believe that's why I said it's about something larger for him. It's about It may be about the eternal resting place of his soul. And you know, if that's the case, then what you're talking about really doesn't matter.
No, right.
he believes he's being persecuted, and honestly, that's part of the theme in religion, to be persecuted because everybody else is wrong and you are right, because and you're righteous, more importantly. And I do believe that's part of this. That's a factor in it, because he and Easterby have a spiritual connection. They believe they meet on another plane, and that's why Easterby is going to stay. That's why Easterby will be there, because it's about something deeper for Cal McNair, and he believes that all of you guys are just judging him, and all of you are wrong, you guys, which are, you know, with the, you know, with the basically the lynch mob that's coming after him. I mean, and I know it sounds crazy, but that's what it seems to me. That's why he is fine with them against the world building the franchise, the championship model, the way they want to. And in the end, he believes they'll have the last, not last laugh, but because they're building it on a higher moral plane than everybody else, that they will be, they'll be justified as a righteous cause.
Man. Cal McNair's going to get killed down in Houston sooner rather than later if he keeps this up, it feels like. So I guess I hope it's worth it for him. I don't know, man. I mean, it just – you're right. You're probably right, Rod. It's
probably the best explanation right there.
Yeah, that seems to be the only explanation to keep a guy like that around, just with all of the stories that we've heard from players and other workers within the Texans organization and everybody about Jack Easterby. So – we'll see what happens. The Texans interviewing Eric Bieniemy. I don't know if that's a pity interview to try to keep Deshaun Watson happy. I don't know if he's a legitimate candidate or not. The Texans, though, along with the Philadelphia Eagles, the only team still needing a head coach in the National Football League. We'll see what happens. We'll take your thoughts. The Specs text line 337-3776. You Texans fans, if you want to chime in on any of that conversation. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. Let's get back to some Texas Longhorn football. More conversation about the new defensive coordinator, plus some recruiting talk. We are 15 days away from National Signing Day. We've got some good news and some unfortunate news on the recruiting trail for Steve Sarkisian. That's next.
It's a bad Tuesday here. Triple Option with RBKD. We got Brad Kellner. We got Rod Babers. I'm Kevin Dunn, taking you all the way up until 7 o'clock. We'll get back into the possible new Texas defensive coordinator, and we've got some funny off-the-record stories as well. Got a good show set up for you, and we're going to actually talk more about that new defensive coordinator with C.J. Vogel from the Football Brainiacs coming up at right around 6 o'clock. Now, one of the guys that we know is already in is Kyle Flood, who's coming with Sark from Alabama, really well-respected offensive line coach. And, guys, we've talked really one of the big issues for Texas was not being able to go get high-level offensive line players. It was a really good crop in Texas, including the Brockermeyer brothers, and Texas missed out on that. But Longhorns have offered a five-star prospect, number one offensive tackle in the 2022 class. That's five-star offensive tackle Zach Rice. So Texas and Kyle Flood shooting for the stars early here, BK, but they're going to have to obviously land some of these guys. I would think Flood coming in right away, these kids will listen.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, they've got a lot of work to do to make up some ground on the recruiting trail, and Herb Hand just did an unfathomably bad job in the class of 2021. I mean, this was described by many as maybe the best crop of offensive linemen in the state of Texas in one recruiting class in history, and Texas whiffed on just about every blue-chip prospect this year. Even if Tom Herman was coming back, Herb Hand, there was no way he should have been brought back, considering the lack of development we saw from the current players, the guys who are already here at UT, and also his struggles on the recruiting trail as well. So it's going to be a little bit of an uphill battle, but Rod, you know, we talked about Steve Sarkisian, his marriage with Kyle Flood, the success those two guys had together at Alabama. They, of course, had success putting together really, really good offenses the last two seasons. But those guys, along with Kyle Banks, had a big part in the success Alabama had on the recruiting trail and bringing in the Brockermeyers and being able to bring in really, really good offensive lineman players over the last couple of years. So, obviously good. It's a no-brainer to offer the best offensive lineman in the country every single year, but hopefully Texas can reap the benefits of having all of those guys here in Austin instead of there in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, and you also want to try to use that momentum, right? Texas has a lot of momentum, positive momentum right now. I know there was a lot of negative momentum before they made the Sark hire, but there is a lot of positive mojo around the program on the recruiting trail. Recruits and prospects are really excited. There's been buzz of, you know, commits flipping potentially. So, you got to use that. So if you're Sark, Kyle Flood, this is the time where, yeah, go offer the big-time recruits, because right now all the stories about the program are positive. You just had a offensive coordinator for Bama who's now hired to be your head coach that had the one of the most explosive, efficient offenses in college football history. And you're bringing over most of that offensive staff. That offensive line was the best in the country, and you're bringing over that offensive line coach. So, yeah, now is the time to be a little bit braggadocious that you do have the momentum and you do have the clout a little bit right now to walk into some of those living rooms and brag about what those guys just accomplished. Now, you haven't done it on your own here at Texas, but you just did it as a coach, so you need to go in there and brag about your individual accomplishments and say, hey, I'm bringing my talents to Texas. You need to take your talents to Texas with me, and then we're going to win championship just like I did at Bama. You need to make that connection to that young man in his head that he's going to be, you know, the next first-round draft pick just like they had at Bama, even though they haven't had that many at Texas. That'll hopefully change with Sam Cosmi this year. It'll be something else that'll bring more positive energy for Texas. You'll have guys drafted early. So I think they're just trying to maximize the right now a little bit of the snowball effect if they can get it going. And then you know all it takes is to get one big flip, one big commitment flip from a guy in the 2022 class or something like that, and that's highly ranked, and boom. Then you can get another player, and then that guy can become that kind of that we are the world effect. He can become that Pied Piper for you, and you can get out there and start flipping a lot of guys just because of the excitement before you even put any product on the field.
No, there's no doubt momentum is, and Sark talked about that. I mean, you just got to continue that, and as Rod said, you're selling yourself at this point and selling the other things that Texas has to offer. Now, one good thing is, I mean, think about how quickly the momentum flips with what a lot of the recruits thought of Texas was two months ago. And now all of a sudden you're seeing guys, even Rice. I mean, he put on Twitter, because of the new staff, I've got an offer and I'm pretty excited about it. So that's they got to be able to take that momentum and go. The previous Texas staffs have been able to do that, especially Herman, with some early momentum, but then you see something on the field and all of a sudden it starts to trend downwards. Yeah. The key with these guys is obviously once they get on the field, show that next year that, hey, that momentum's only going to continue.
No doubt. You got to develop, and Texas is so far behind the times and behind every other school in terms of developing talent. So, yeah, I mean, you got to ride the wave. Ride the wave.
Hey,
bro,
man.
Ride the wave. Yeah, man. You want to ride that as long as you can. And look, Tom Herman did a great job of that, right? Tom Herman's first full recruiting cycle, that 2018 cycle, he finished with the third-ranked recruiting class in the country. So anytime at a place like Texas you have a coaching change and you bring in an on-paper really, really good hire, then that's going to excite a lot of folks out there on the recruiting trail. Hopefully Steve Sarkisian can do that. But also, for the long term, you definitely need, Rod, to see some on-field success, right? I mean, I don't know how much longer these recruits are going to be duped by Texas bringing in a new coach. That seemingly happens every 3 or 4 years. I mean, until they start seeing that translate to the field and obviously start to see that Longhorn players get developed into Sunday players and, more importantly, NFL draft picks, then it might be a struggle to really recruit amongst the elite in college football.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You got to start basically winning titles and putting guys in the league. Those are the two dreams that I don't know if this changed that much. I mean, a lot of things have changed since I was a recruit 20 years ago, but I'm sure guys still more than 20 years ago. All right. But still guys want to go to the league and they want to win titles. That's what I want to do. That's what they want to do. And that's the mission. So you got to present them with one or two of those options. And Texas hasn't done a really good job of either one of them in the last 10 years.
BK, LJ Johnson, Cy Fair running back, is someone who's still on the table. You got any updates on him?
Yes, some not great updates.
Is he heading to Cowtown?
No word officially just yet, but I'll give Horns 24/7 some credit for this one. They reported over the weekend that Texas A&M seemed to be gaining momentum for four-star Cy-Fair running back L.J. Johnson. He was rumored to take a visit to College Station over the weekend to take an academic tour as a student. Apparently, UT is not giving up, and Stan Drayton is still in contact with L.J., and they believe the feedback and communication is still good. But I think right now the expectation is at some point between now and National Signing Day, which is 15 days from now, that L.J. Johnson will commit to Texas A&M. We'll obviously see how that story unfolds.
And he's this year, so Bijan actually could play into that a little bit, right?
Right. Yes, yep. He is a class of 2021 kid, so he'll be on campus. I think he's actually an early enrollee, but he'll be able to play this coming season wherever he goes. So we'll see if Stan Drayton can get a change. I don't want to call it a flip because L.J. Johnson is not committed to Texas A&M just yet, but it feels like the momentum in favor of the Aggies right now. As of now, Texas has one running back signed for the class of 2021. That is Hallettsville's Jonathan Brooks, who was Mr. Texas football this year. Had a really, really good season, but of course the Longhorns would like to find a way to get L.J. Johnson in here too.
Rod, you remember Kenny Hyder?
Yep. I do remember Kenny Hyder. He works in Vegas now.
Does he really? He was a Cy-Fair kid, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was Cy-Fair, I believe. Maybe Cy-Falls.
Cy-Falls, okay.
One had the green uniforms. I think that's Falls.
Yeah, maybe Falls.
That was green.
Yeah.
And Fair is like brownish. But yeah, he works in Vegas now. He's like a, man, he's like a concierge for like big whales and stuff.
Really?
Oh, dude, Kenny could hook you up.
We need to have a Rod Baber segment and just catching us up on guys. It's like Kenny Hyder's working with big whales in Vegas. We know what Casey Stoddard's doing. But, Rod, we need to have a little segment of all the updates where these guys are.
Yeah, man. No, I didn't. I haven't hung out with him, of course, in a while, but I do see him like on social media in Vegas. So, okay. Yeah, Kenny can hook it up, man. But he was a good running back. He ended up transferring to TCU, right?
I believe you're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do that catch-up segment in Vegas. Can we make that happen?
Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be awesome. Right?
Post-COVID.
Post-COVID, of course. It's the Triple Option with RBKD. Some recruiting news notes and nuggets for y'all here on a Tuesday. We'll continue the Texas football conversation and get back into the reported new defensive coordinator hire for the University of Texas. We'll tell you what he brings to the table. We'll also try to tell you how to pronounce this guy's name. That's been the most polarizing question around these parts throughout the course of today. We've got another pronunciation that we might have to give you. Let's just get this guy on campus so we can figure it out. But more talk about the reported new DC coming your way next.